Hi there, I'm Ashley Selman, and welcome to the Evolution Trainers podcast, Healthy is Happy. Our goal is to provide you with the latest health and fitness information so that you can be informed to make decisions to optimize your health and ultimately your happiness. Hey there, and welcome to the Evolution Trainers podcast. This is Ashley Selman, and I'm here today with Matt Brockhouse, and we're going to be talking about the importance of sleep and how that will not only impact your quality of life, but also really help you make the most gains in your fitness program and really getting optimal results. So Matt has a really diverse background. He's been a personal trainer, an athletic trainer. He's been a strength and conditioning coach and also done some nutrition. So it gives him a really kind of unique perspective when he's working with clients. So Matt, tell us a little more about how your background allows you to sort of approach your programs with your clients.
Yeah, sure. Because of all those different roles I've had the opportunity to see young athletes, old athletes, healthy, unhealthy, sick, those wanting to optimize performance, those wanting to get in better shape. I mean, I've gotten to see it all. And so I've been able to take what might work for a young athlete and transfer that to a geriatric client who really just wants to be able to move better. And we can use the same principles across that spectrum, but it also makes it a little bit more broad. So I can take something from athletic training, take something from a clinic, take something from working with a team, and look and see how can I adjust this? How can I look more broadly at someone's fitness or their health instead of just, okay, this is a middle-aged client who wants to move better. I can kind of add some other things to their program.
So you kind of have maybe different lenses you can look through to evaluate different aspects of fitness programs. So you could look at, okay, as a personal trainer, I think this, but let's look from more of a clinical or athletic training setting to figure out maybe there's some corrective things that need to happen first. And
Definitely. Instead of saying, okay, I have a toolbox and maybe I can get a bigger toolbox, I bring multiple toolboxes in.
That's cool. That's great. So tell me more then about how your approach to sleep is part of this toolbox maybe, or how you've determined that sleep is such an important thing to kind of talk about and work with your clients.
Sure. I mean, it's no surprise. It's not a mystery that people... that sleep is important, right? We all know, you hear it on the news, you hear it from your doctor, you should be getting somewhere between 7 to 9 hours of sleep. I mean, everyone knows that, but they don't really get why it's that important. And from working in a clinic, we got to see the effects of sleep deprivation and stress on someone recovering from surgery, right? Their recovery takes a little bit longer if they're not getting enough sleep. We see it with an athlete who's been injured. It takes them a little bit longer to recover from a sprained ankle. If you're coming into the gym and you've got a bum shoulder or a little arthritis and you're trying to work around that, it's going to take a little bit longer for that to heal because that inflammation is just not going to go away. And so we start to see, it doesn't affect you maybe day to day, but the whole course of your goal setting, the whole course of your treatment might take a little bit longer.
That's interesting. So from I think people hear a lot of like, oh, maybe your energy is going to be affected, but I think people maybe not think of it on that more cellular level of recovery and inflammation. So what about those clients that sort of say, but I get 4 to 6 hours of sleep and I feel fine, do I really need more sleep?
So I think those people are more of an anomaly than kind of popular culture makes it seem.
Right? Okay.
You hear a lot about a successful executive that only sleeps 4 hours a night, and people are like, oh, well, I only sleep 4 hours a night, so I can be just like that person. But that's really not the kind of normal person, right? You look at like a professional basketball player, and you say, well, I play basketball in the park, but you're so far away from that person. And the same is true for sleep. Just because someone can do 4 hours doesn't mean you can, right? And the body can't manage that. It might not affect you today, it might not affect you tomorrow, but it will affect you. And we see the same thing with nutrition. Someone says, well, I can eat sugar and donuts and stuff until I turn 40 and then the wheels fell off. Well, it's not that you turned 40 and the wheels fell off, it's that you got enough exposure of that bad food. And the same is true for sleep. You might be able to sleep 4 hours a night for so long, but then after that point, it's going to come back and bite you.
So it's almost like you hit a tipping point and it's like built up and then...
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It might feel like you're doing fine, but really you're not, and the effects might not manifest themselves until later on.
I feel like that's true with injuries too. A lot of times, like, they're under the surface for so long, and then they're kind of there, but you don't notice it. And then by the time you notice it, it's too late, or it's really significant at that point.
Yeah.
That's a good way to explain it. So, what are the other? You mentioned, recovering from injury a little fast. You know, being able to recover faster if you're getting more sleep. What are some other of the kind of benefits? You know, the real benefits of getting healthy amounts of sleep.
So we're talking just day to day for one of our clients or an athlete. There's been some really landmark studies that look at decision making and making mistakes and sleep deprivation. They've done it on doctors. They've done it on pilots who tend to have long shifts, and they've found that error rate and mistakes go up hugely when sleep deprivation is around. And a lot of times those people don't even notice that they're making those poor mistakes. They don't notice that the time to make a decision is actually slowed. And so that's, day-to-day consequence of not getting enough sleep that most people don't register.
That's interesting. And I would think, sometimes I know if I don't get enough sleep, I feel tired, and so maybe, I'm not as sharp. But it's even more scary that you're not actually noticing some of those detrimental, changes or results that you might be getting from not sleeping enough.
Yeah, it's pretty scary when they looked at, medical residents who are notorious for pulling really, really long shifts, that their perception of their ability was going up as their error rate was going up.
Wow, that's super fascinating. Okay, great. Well, I think, like you said, I think most people do know that sleep is important, and needing to get, 7-8 hours of sleep every night is, we hear it all the time. But I think people still have a challenge with it because life is busy, people have a lot on their plate. So what are some, what's the number one thing clients can do to improve their sleep? Is there a practical tip to help them with that?
So in, working with clients one-on-one for about 8-10 years, what I've seen is that, they have a really hard time falling asleep or staying asleep, right? And so either one or two cases, either they can't go to sleep or they wake up in the middle of the night. And I think a lot of that is kind of what's going on before they try and go to bed. And I think if we can address kind of the stress that happens right before sleep, then that gives people a huge advantage when it either comes to being able to fall asleep or stay asleep. For example, I have a ton of clients who they're working, they come home, they eat dinner, they play with their kids for a little bit, kids go to bed, they get back on their computer, they keep working for another 2 hours, and then they go, oh, it's time to go to sleep, they shut the computer, they go right to bed. But their brain is still spinning. They're still thinking about the day, they're still thinking about what's coming up, and there's never been a shutdown period. And so before I start talking to clients about how much sleep they need to get or let's go to bed earlier, I try and get them to bake in a little downtime between shutting that computer and actually hitting the pillow. And that will go a long way in just getting them to kind of slow the brain down, allow their body to shut down for the day.
So what are some examples of things they could do before they go to bed to start to get into that transition phase to quiet their mind?
At the very least, I'd say just give themselves a half hour of shut the computer, turn off the email, something like that. I'll have clients that will email me because they're up late at night, and I make it a point to kind of train them that they're not going to get a response from me late at night because I'm trying to shut down for my day, and so should they. So that's an easy first step. Second thing might be, bake in some sort of routine into that, half hour, 45 minutes of time, or whether it's you're writing out a plan for the next day, so you can kind of metaphysically take all of your task items out of your brain, put them on paper, so you don't have to worry about remembering them. Mm-hmm. Another is just kind of finding some sort of stress relief that you can do to take your mind off the work. So that might be reading a book, it might be working on a puzzle, might be crossword, something where you're able to divert your attention and really kind of slow the brain down a little bit. Thinking from a gym perspective, that's also a great time to maybe sneak in some mobility work, right? Maybe a foam roller, a soft tissue, some of them lacrosse ball stuff. That relaxation, that distraction for the mind will be a really good way to help you fall asleep.
I like that. Two bang, exactly. A double whammy right there. Get some soft tissue work and get your brain ready for sleep. I like that. So you sort of, with clients, start first at trying to improve the quality of sleep, even if they're getting, let's say, only 6 hours of sleep. Let's try to make that 6 hours of sleep better, more efficient, get you sleeping as much of that time as possible.
Sure. People always try and guard their time, right? They say, well, I don't have time for this. I've got this obligation and that obligation. So, okay, fine. Let's see if we can make each of those obligations a little bit better. And so the one obligation that we try and work on a lot is sleep. And so let's try and make it better before we try and make it bigger.
Yeah, and I could see how that would seem more doable for people when I agree with you. A lot of times it's like, I just don't have the time, so how can I magically get more time in the day? I can't, but we can always improve on the quality. So I do think that's a great place to start. And then maybe people start to notice some of the benefits and get a little more buy-in to prioritize maybe squeaking in an extra 30 minutes or hour a night.
Exactly.
So once you get the client to that point where maybe they're improving their quality of sleep and they're doing some of that nighttime relaxation or getting their brain a little quieted so they can get more quality sleep, how do you start? What are some suggestions you get for them to start increasing time of sleep when, you know, people have so many responsibilities of family, work, you know, exercise, you know, so many responsibilities. So what tips do you have to have them gain more time for sleep?
So one thing I do a lot with clients is I kind of break down the week into kind of its hour allotments. For instance, you know, so if we should be sleeping 8 hours a night, that's 56 hours a week out of a 168-hour week, right? So we can dedicate that time right off the bat. Say, okay, well, you have to work 8 to 10 hours a day. That's 40 to 50 hours a week, ideally. I know a lot of our clients are on the upside of that, you know, 60, 80 hours. But so if we put that time in, that's a lot of time, then we can say, okay, well, what do we have time for? And then when they start to look at the week as a whole instead of just a day, then they can start to see really where their time goes, where their priorities go. And so what I show to clients a lot of times is if we're ideally supposed to be sleeping 56 hours a week, and even if you were to come in and exercise every day, we might be looking at 7 to 10 hours, right? That exercise is a much smaller proportion of time than that sleep should be. And so you need to kind of think about, how much are you dedicating towards your exercise? Kind of how much energy, how much time are you dedicating to the exercise compared to your sleep? And if it's really out of proportion, then we know that that's where we can kind of buy a little time.
So maybe trade some of the exercise time for sleep time. If you're someone that's going on long runs or long bike rides or spending a lot of time in the gym, maybe some of that time would be better spent sleeping.
Exactly. Exactly. If we talk about your health, the health is going to be better from more sleep. But also the performance in the gym or out running that you would get as well is going to be better served because that sleep is improved.
So you're
going
to have better quality workouts after you've had better quality sleep. So it's really improving quality in the workouts arena, maybe decreasing the time, improving the quality in sleep. We want the quality, but we need that minimum amount of time as well.
Exactly. Everyone always thinks, oh, more is better, right? So they say, I got to exercise more, I got to run more, I got to run faster, I got to lift more. But they don't think, I need to sleep more. Mm-hmm. But really, if they sleep more, all of those other things will get better.
That's such a good way to approach it. I like that. And I do think Abby White and I did a podcast couple weeks ago on time management and some similar tips on like really managing your week, and the more skilled you get at that, you actually gain time.
Exactly.
Because there's so many little pockets of wasted time or time that's spent on things that really aren't something of value to you, so I think that's great. And prioritizing family time and the other things, that relationships or things that are important to you, I think people get in such, especially these days with technology, we get in such reaction mode, things coming at us all the time, that we kind of lose control of our time versus saying, like you said, you're not going to do emails at night because you know that time's important for you. You're controlling your time versus being like, I got an email, I have to respond.
Exactly. I mean, I recommend that to clients. I mean, smartphones, computers have that capability where you can set it so that the alerts do not go off between a certain hour, right? So you can say, okay, well, even if I'm going to be up working until 10:30, my email turns off at 10 o'clock. So I don't have anything new to worry about that's going to keep me up past that 10:30.
You say, I love that. How do you do that?
Just turn it on your phone.
Yeah.
So you can set like a do not disturb, right? And so you can set the times for it so that you get no alerts between such and such hours.
I love that. I'm going to do that myself.
Yeah. It's pretty nice. You know, what I've done too is just I have my phone set so that after 9 p.m. the alert turns off. So I might still get a text message or an email via vibrate mode, silent mode, but I won't hear it. Mm-hmm. So if it's not sitting right next to me, then I won't notice it coming. Mm-hmm. And I leave it like that all weekend too, so I don't have to be distracted by it.
That's great. I know that those alerts can just interrupt whatever you're doing. It can interrupt your, you know, whatever else you're focused on, and they can really become a big distraction for people. So I do know turning off those sort of alerts that come to you. This happened a lot also with news. People have news alerts, and it's like being bombarded with news all day long is not necessarily good for us. So controlling when you see that versus it controlling you, I think is huge. And you know, just recently, as a matter of fact, this last week, one of the goals I set for myself is sleeping without the phone in my room, which just psychologically is different. Like, it's just not right there, so accessible. So that's kind of been partly for my sleep and partly just for not having technology right in my space all night long.
You know, and the common refrain you hear from people is, well, I use my phone as my alarm clock. Okay, you can go buy an alarm clock for like $10 and it won't have any lights on it. It won't beep except for the alarm. Right? And you can put that right by your bed or right on your dresser and won't have to worry about it. And the phone can sit in another room.
That's funny. It's funny because when I did that, I have an alarm clock and I didn't trust it. So the first night I had to make sure my phone was in the distance. I could hear it just in case. But I'm like, how am I not trusting an alarm clock when that's its one function? Yeah. It was funny. So any last kind of thoughts or tips about sleep that you want to end with helping clients to try to embrace getting more sleep in their life?
Sure. There's a couple things. You know, we talked a little bit about, okay, well, how can we improve the quality of the sleep without, you know, addressing the time? And I think there's a couple things that we can do to really address the quality. Everyone knows, okay, well, we shouldn't be eating right before we go to bed because they think about that from a fat perspective or a weight loss perspective. But think about it from a sleeping perspective. If your body is devoting a lot of its energy to digesting food, it's not going to be able to use that energy for restoration, for repair, for immune function buildup, which is what you're supposed to be doing while you're sleeping. So moving what time you eat away from what time you go to sleep is really important for helping you sleep better.
What is sort of, for an average size meal, what's a good amount of time before you go to sleep, would you say?
Give yourself an hour or so.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, but what you want to do is think about that food kind of clearing your stomach.
And okay.
Maybe about an hour. Think about, like, you know, your grandma's rules about swimming after lunch, right? You got to wait a little bit to swim. But that's going to go a long way because most people, you're not really comfortable with a belly full of food, especially when you lay down. So that's going to be really helpful. Another thing that I try and work on with my clients is turning off all overhead lights once the sun goes down. So walking around in the dark, not really realistic. But if you say, okay, table lamps, floor lamps, instead of overhead lights, it kind of gives that sunset perspective. So you don't have the light coming from above you.
So is that more just a perception thing, or does that actually affect like the melatonin in your brain or anything like that?
So that's mostly a perception thing. Mm-hmm. What you can do if you want to get that melatonin effect is to actually change the light bulbs you're using.
To what?
So I use an amber light bulb in my bedroom. It's kind of weird. It gives more or less like an orange glow.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, how often are you in your bedroom at night with the light on?
Where you need
not very often.
Bright
just
light.
Just in there at mm-hmm. night, getting dressed, you know, changing your pajamas, going to bed. So you don't need a lot of light, and it doesn't have to be very bright. So we've got amber light bulbs in the bedroom, and that works. And then, you know, just table lamps, and you can make those amber as well.
Mm-hmm.
But even with, you know, with LED light bulbs coming around, they make them a little bit programmable, so you can change the color of the light, you can change the intensity of the light, either via your phone or by getting kind of low wattage light bulbs.
That's a great tip to change the lighting. I hadn't thought of that as a good solution, but I know that having lower level light can, same what you're saying, like have your brain start perceiving that it's night and calm down and start sending some of those sleep signals a little sooner. So not having your bright light on right before you go to bed, I can see how that would be a good strategy as well.
Exactly. And, you know, the last thing that I really try and instill with clients is that, you know, the earlier they can go to bed, the better. Whether it's still 6 hours, or it's 8 hours, or it's 10 hours, but like the hours before midnight are going to be more important than the hours after midnight.
Why is that?
So we are intimately tied to the sun, our kind of sleep schedule, our circadian rhythm. And so when that sun goes down, that's really when we should be going to bed. All right, so, you know, now that it's getting lighter out, we've got a little bit more daylight later in the day, but that doesn't mean that it should be 11 or 12 or 1 o'clock that we're going to bed. It should still be, you know, 9 or 10. And if you feel like you've got a lot to do and you can't sleep very long because you've got so much work or you gotta get the kids ready, well, you can always wake up earlier in the morning and do that. Right? You wanna use that melatonin that's being produced as soon as the sun goes down to help you get some sleep and help that sleep be restful. So by accommodating that melatonin, using it right away when it starts to kick in when the sun goes down, your sleep is gonna be a little bit better, even if it's shorter.
That is a great tip. Wow, I've learned some new things today. This is great. Well, thanks so much, Matt. I think this there's been a lot of great practical tips, and hopefully people get a little motivated to make some changes so that they can not only improve their sleep, but ultimately improve their life, their relationships, their workouts, and their thinking, their work. So it really does have vast benefits. Mm-hmm. So,
exactly.
Great topic. Thanks for being here.
Of course.
And thanks for joining us today, everyone. And we'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.